It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We are hearing the stories of healthcare workers who responded to the coronavirus epicenter. As New York's situation grew dire through March and April, thousands of medical professionals from across the country raced to assist, answering the call to volunteer on the front lines in New York City. Maybe you or a loved one has volunteered in a healthcare capacity. What is it like to respond to an urgent need, a disaster? Join in at 800-642-1234. Elizabeth Riley is a registered nurse at Cumberland Healthcare in Barron County. She worked for 20 days in the ICU at Woodhull Medical Center in Brooklyn. That's one of the boroughs of New York. She is in quarantine right now at home in Hayward, recovering from COVID-19. Elizabeth, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Kate.
How are you doing today? Because I imagine it's one day at a time.
Well, it's fine. I mean, people say, how are you? I say, fine, just like most people. But it's the problems that I continue to have with COVID is because I don't know if you mentioned this. I did get it.
Yeah.
From being in there. So right now, the problems that I have are I get very short of breath easily. I can't smell anything and I can't taste anything. But other than that, it's fine. I can get up and move around and things like that. It just makes you feel really tired, I guess, toward the end here. I'm hoping that this is going to resolve soon. I had a test yesterday, so I'm really hoping that I'll find out today it's negative.
Oh, I hope so, too. You've been testing regularly, I understand.
Yeah, I tested when I got back from New York, and then because I was unable to get a test while I was in New York. And then I tested, that came back positive. So I waited 2 weeks, and then I had another test, and that came back positive. And then I waited another week and had a test yesterday. So I'm very hopeful that this one will come back negative. And I can at least be closer to my husband than 10 feet apart when we are in shared space here in the house. Usually I just stay up in my room so that there's no possibility of me infecting him. But otherwise, I wear a mask and we stay 10 feet apart. And I can't really touch anything that he's going to touch in the other part of the house.
Elizabeth, let's go back to the beginning of April. You're traveling to New York to work and help patients with COVID-19. What caused you to make that decision?
Well, there are a couple of things that happened at the right time. First of all, I would, with everybody else, watch Governor Cuomo pleading for help. That they didn't have enough equipment, they didn't have enough people. I saw photographs of healthcare staff just being wiped out by this. And where I work, as what happened with most small hospitals and people not knowing what to expect, we did what everybody did, which was to postpone a lot of our procedures, day surgeries, things like that, and our inpatient census dropped as we waited to see kind of what was going to happen. So we had a low census. I found out that there was this organization, and it's nice to consider that I volunteered to go there. I volunteered to go there, but I got paid. So I don't want you to think I just dropped everything and went out there without being paid. But I found out about that, and I thought, well, if they're going to be cutting hours back at the hospital, which they wound up doing in most hospitals, and Cumberland was very creative in trying to keep people with as many hours as they needed. But I thought, well, if I can go there, then my colleague won't have to give up hours on her part. And so it worked out. My director of nursing and the other people there gave me permission to go. And so I went. It just worked out. But I also have to say, I love New York City. I've been there a number of times because I have a cousin who used to live there. And it is there's everything you could imagine in that city. People from all over the world live there, and just walking around, listening to people talk is like listening to music. Mm. It's a wonderful, wonderful city. And when Governor Cuomo said, if you help us, we'll help you. And I knew that that was true. So I went.
Elizabeth Riley is a nurse at Cumberland Healthcare, and she treated patients with COVID-19 in a hospital in Brooklyn for 20 days. And you can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Elizabeth, what was it like for you in the hospital that you were assigned to? What were you doing, and what was it like?
Well, I had ICU experience years and years ago. So when I called to see if they would take me, that was really what they were looking for, was emergency department and ICU. And so I explained that it was years and years ago that I'd had ICU experience, but I felt like I could learn it again. And they said, great, when can you get here? Can you get here tomorrow? That was how fast this whole thing happened. So when I got there, I was assigned, it was very militarily run. There were 500 of us who got there and descended on these hotels throughout the city. And so we had to show up in this one room and sign in, and there were people, listen up, you know, I mean, it was get in line. I like these chairs in line. And so it was very, I thought, militarily run. But it only took them a day before they figured out where we were going to go and how the buses were going to get us there. And there were some glitches with that kind of thing early on, but things got smoothed out. So I was assigned to Woodhull Medical Center in Brooklyn and in an ICU there. That hospital is really big, and they have a lot of ICUs. And the first one I was in,
ICUs, plural, so more than one ICU in the hospital.
That is correct.
Wow.
Yes. Yes, more than one. And more than one emergency department, too. They had an extended stay emergency department, a get them in, get them out emergency department, you name it, they had it. So I was initially in one of those ICUs that was built to be an ICU. It had glass doors. The patient beds were close enough to the doors that you could move the IV pumps out of the room so that if there was a machine that was, and was the alarm was going off on a pump, or you noticed that you needed more medication before the bag ran out, you could go get those things without having to go into the patient room. So, and then you could see the patient because the doors were glass. What they finally wound up doing, because of the capacity of patients who needed ventilation, they took a medical surgical unit and they made the middle portion of that into sort of a makeshift ICU so they could put more people down there. And that's where I wound up. I spent the first 3 or 4 days bumping back and forth between real ICU to real ICU, and then they opened up this other one and put me there permanently. So it was, in theory, a good idea, but in practice, it was very difficult to manage because it wasn't set up to be an ICU. Yeah. And so the doors are all wooden doors, and you can't see through them, but if you open them up, then you run the risk of
infection,
coronavirus,
yeah,
getting out into the hospital. And it was just really difficult. They had to modify the sinks in the room. And the hospital looks kind of new from the outside, but it's really kind of old on the inside. Go ahead.
How many patients were you taking care of at once?
I had up to 3 patients. That last place I was at, that makeshift ICU, there were a lot of double rooms. So I had 2 patients in one room, and then about 4 doors down, I had another patient.
How did you gown up? How did you get your personal protective equipment on? How did you learn how to put it on?
Well, actually, I learned how to put it on when working at Cumberland, because whenever there's something like this that comes down, it happened with Ebola when that was there too, everybody gets a brand new tutorial on how to gown up and how to remove your protective equipment safely. And then you have to test out on it. So we all get taught how to do that. And Cumberland just stays up there with all the rest of the people in keeping its employees up to date and being safe. Well, at Woodhull, it's the same thing. You know how to put it on. You know how to take it off. So my routine was when I got there was to try to find covers for my shoes. And there were a couple times when those were not available. So I had to take, you know, those blue filmy gauzy hats.
Sure. Yeah.
Shower caps.
Yeah.
I had to put two of those over each foot. And they're really slippery. They're hard to walk around in. But I needed to have my feet covered because I'm walking through COVID all day. So those were the first things that went on. And then I would put one of those little shower caps on my hair. And then I would wear my N95 mask. We were issued one N95 mask every 5 days. And the elastic on mine broke one time, and I had to sign about three pieces of paper just to get a new one. And over the N95, we would put a paper surgical mask because we had to wear the N95s for 5 days, and they were going to get COVID on them. So we'd cover them with a paper mask and then put on a face shield. So the foot covers, the hair cover, the two masks, and the face shield were automatic every morning. And then when you go into a patient room, you would have to put on a blue plastic gown and gloves. And because I had a double room, and then you also have to make sure that you have everything you need so that you're not going in the room that often, because the more you're in that room, the more you expose yourself, and you have to open the door, and, you know, all kinds of things that really you want to minimize.
Oh, so organized, painstaking. Elizabeth Riley, nurse in Barron County, she returned last month from New York after treating patients with the coronavirus. She's currently recovering from COVID-19. What do you want to know about nursing care and COVID? Do you have questions about treatment, managing symptoms? Be part of this 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with Elizabeth Riley here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thousands of medical professionals have answered the call to work on the front lines in New York City. We're hearing from a nurse in Hayward who did just that. Are you or a loved one recovering from the coronavirus? What are your days like? Have you volunteered in a disaster before, or maybe in the current crisis? What is it like to respond when you know your skills are essential? Still time for you, 800-642-1234. Elizabeth Riley is a nurse in Barron County. She treated COVID patients in New York for 20 days, where she also contracted the disease. Let's take a call now. Judy is here from Ripon. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I'm also an ICU nurse, but I've not worked for the last year, so I could have been really helpful, but I didn't know where to go. Like, I want to know the logistics of how she found out, what website she went to, how she signed up, and how they dealt with licensing, because I'm only licensed in Wisconsin, and, you know, just all those. So how did she find out about how to go, how to actually do it? Help us off here.
Yeah, Judy, thanks.
Yeah, I'm happy to address that. Actually, I found out, of all things, on Facebook. There was a Facebook page for an organization called Crucial Staffing. That's Crucial with a K. And they are an emergency management group out of Kansas. So they were advertising on Facebook, and I just happened to see it. Some people from work just happened to see it, and we were talking, wow, that sounds like it might be an interesting thing. And that's when our hours were low. So I thought, well, I talked to my boss and said, if I can get through and get in, could I have that time off? And he said, yes. So then what you have to do is wait for them to tell you on Facebook that they have an opening and they're going to start taking phone call applications. And then you wind up dialing because it's busy, 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 busy. And I finally got in and talked to somebody and they said, when can you start? Didn't matter if I was from Wisconsin, it didn't matter where my license was, as long as my license was in good standing and that I had an immunization record I could show them. So basically, do you have a pulse? Yes. When can you get here?
Judy, thank you for the call. Let's go to Kathy now in Fontana. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
My question is, I have family and friends that I love dearly, but they think this is all a hoax, and it's just a matter of the flu, and the media is blowing it out of proportion. I'm scared to death. I'm following all the rules, and now Wisconsin has decided to open things up. So I have friends and family that are, hey, let's go down to the bar, let's go shopping, let's go to this restaurant, let's go there. I'm hibernating. I'm not doing that. I'm going to work, but that's it. And I just think, I don't want to get into arguments with these people. I just tell them, I guess we can't talk about this anymore. And I'm just wondering, is there something that could be said to make them realize how real this is?
Kathy, thanks. Elizabeth, social distancing and being careful, what can you say?
You know, I just wish that it would be possible for me to walk everybody who thinks this is just the flu through my ICU and let them spend 10 minutes looking at all those people on ventilators. This is not just the flu. It's a terrible disease. It's very difficult to deal with, and it's easy to get. I had all the protective equipment I needed, and I still got it. Now, as far as people opening, there are CDC guidelines that are out now on the CDC webpage that give step-by-step detailed instructions, including algorithms on what you need to look for before you should open and how you should open slowly. One of our problems is that we have an administration that buried that report, and they wouldn't let those guidelines be published until the media called them out on it. And finally, as of yesterday, those guidelines have been published. So I would urge any business that wants to reopen to look at those guidelines and find out what they need to do. In my mind, I think it was terrible that they overturned the stay-at-home orders. Wisconsin's cases continue to rise. And why we are now saying, when the cases are going up, okay, everybody get together in close quarters again, it's just beyond all reason to me. But my experience is, and I'm sad to say this, people who believe it's a hoax are told it's a hoax, and they are going to continue to believe it no matter how much evidence you put in front of them.
Elizabeth, you worked primarily with people on ventilators who were diagnosed with COVID. What was it like treating people being on ventilators?
It was like going to a different world every day. Because these people are, they're on ventilators, they're sedated. You know, the goal is to get them off sedation and try to wean them off that ventilator. But in my time there, nobody that I worked with got off a ventilator. I'm sure they were getting off them somewhere because they would pipe these really terrific New York songs through the intercom when somebody was extubated, because it was a really big deal when somebody got off a vent. But it never happened with one of my patients. It felt like everywhere you went, somebody was on a vent and they were probably going to die. Because what you wind up doing is managing the sedation, the medications, the blood pressure medications that are going in. And sometimes that's what's keeping these people alive. They are one vent setting or one drip calculation off from dying. And they can't talk because they're ventilated and sedated. So I would go in and talk to them and say, I'm going to suction your mouth now, and I'm going to clean it out for you and make you more comfortable. And I'm going to turn you now, or I'm going to provide skin care. You talk to them and hope they can hear you and understand so they're not frightened. But I think that's the worst thing about this, is that so many people who were so sick were so frightened.
Elizabeth Riley with us. She's a nurse at Cumberland Healthcare in Barron County. She spent 20 days in an ICU in New York. Elizabeth, Barb from Rice Lake called in, couldn't stay with us. Barb says, you are a hero in her mind, no matter if you got paid for the work or not. And she feels really proud to be from the same county.
I think that is the nicest thing in the world. And I know when I was out there, I did a lot of writing about it. I called it my on the bus writings. Because every morning I had between 30 and 40 minutes on the bus. And what I would do is use that time to sort of arrange my thoughts about what had happened the day before and how I was going to try to frame my day coming up. It's the hardest work you will. My hat is off to ICU nurses who were there before I got there and who will be there long after I left. Those people do a yeoman's job. They are incredible. There was one day on Easter Sunday, we had, I don't know if you know what a code is. You hear it on TV, code blue. And there's a flat line on the EKG and they shock them and then their heart rate comes back and everybody's fine and goes home happy. We had 7 codes on Easter Sunday. And of those codes, we had 3 deaths. And we would barely get a code cart put together again, and then somebody else would code. And it felt like there was nothing but death everywhere. And, I mean, I'm not the most positive person in the world to begin with, more of a glasses half-empty kind of gal. But there's no humor in any of this. There's no joke or fun or way to make light any of this. People were dying every day in there. And the day I got there, April 3rd, in this country, we had 7,000 deaths. Today, 6 weeks later, 84,000 dead in this country.
What could Wisconsin learn from New York and how New York is handling this?
Well, I think we need to... Well, number one, opening things up, I think, is a mistake. And I understand, believe it or not, I have great empathy for small business owners. But I think people have to start looking at who they should really be angry at here. It's not the people who are trying to lock themselves down and keep them and their themselves and their families safe. What they need to do is look and see, where did all that small business money go to?
Well,
how many rich people are getting stuff and at the expense of small business.
Elizabeth, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
And take care. Elizabeth Riley, a nurse and care management coordinator at Cumberland Healthcare. She treated patients for 20 days in Brooklyn. Just ahead, we transition to art and comics. Get inspired about doodling. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.